This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar,
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وَسَلَّمْ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا أَمَّا بَعْدُ. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Surely the best reward ultimately is for those who have taqwa. And surely there is no animosity except for the oppressor. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners, and that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, his servant and his last messenger. And may Allah always and constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, to all those who call to his way, and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, usikum nafsi bitaqwallah, azza wa jal wa sam'i wa ta'a, I begin by cautioning myself and you to have taqwallah, the consciousness of Allah. Al-Khawf wa Raja, that we fear Allah Azza wa Jal, we hope in His mercy, and we constantly surround ourselves with this consciousness of the Creator, so that no matter wherever we are, no matter what we are doing, we remember Allah Azza wa Jal. We remember that there is one who is mighty in power and who is well aware of all that we do. O you who believe, 2 weeks ago, in visiting the Muslim community in Central America, we landed in the country called Belize. And there we visited the site of a Mayan temple. The Mayan people of Central America were one of the powerful nations in this part of the world who were able to reach a very high level of civilization. And their knowledge of the planets, their knowledge of time, could rival the knowledge of the ancient Egyptians, the ancient Phoenicians, the ancient Indians. And at a temple site called El Tonha, we spoke with some of the Mayans, try to understand something about their predictions and what is the impact on the world. For many people who follow apocalyptic changes in the world, the Mayan calendar, which to a great extent has been precise in its setup with the Mayan culture, and this calendar, which dates back 5,125 years. And according to the Mayan long cycle calendar, the earth would end. Everything would be finished and destroyed in a major apocalypse on December 21st, 2012. So that means, according to them, or according to some people, we only have 7 days. Next Jumu'ah, according to their understanding, would be the day of judgment. It would be the end of time. And those who look at calendars, those who look at these type of predictions amongst the people in that region, look in two ways. There are those who look at it in the negative way, meaning the end of the calendar is the end of life, end of humanity. But those who look at it in a positive way look at it as a time of transformation, that it is the end of one cycle and the beginning of another cycle, and that people would be going through a major spiritual transformation on December 23rd. The negative part, and with the coming together of the different planets lining up, their use of astronomy, and the lining up of major planets, and their usage of numerology, brought them this understanding. But those who study the Mayan culture, those who study it from the ancient Mayan language itself, they report that there is no text. There is no actual proof in the ancient Mayan language that the end of the cycle means the end of humanity. And we as Muslims turn to the Quran and the Sunnah always for our guide, although many of us are heavily affected by superstition, heavily affected by apocalyptic predictions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 63, and they used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to ask him about the hour. In the same way people are asking today, will the earth end next Jumu'ah? What should we do in these 7 days? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and giving the message to us through his messenger, has told us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يسألك الناس عن الساعة قل إنما علمها عند الله وما يدريك لعل الساعة تكون قريبا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, and the people ask you about the hour. They are asking you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the last day. Say to them, the knowledge of it is only with Allah. And what will make you understand that the hour is close? It is close. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that knowledge is specific to Allah Azza wa Jal. It is not in any calendar. It is not in human understanding, but it is close. And that was the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him. When the angel Jibreel, alayhi salam, came to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and questioned him about Islam, Iman, and Ihsan, following this, the angel said to him, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. Tell me about the hour. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered, مَلْ مَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمُ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The one who's asking it knows more than the one who's being questioned. In other words, you know more than me. Why are you questioning me? Then Jibreel alayhi salam asked him, then فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ إِمَارَاتِهَا. Tell me about some of the signs of the hour. If you can't tell me the actual time itself, then tell me some of the signs that will prove it is close. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered, "Antalid al-ama rabbataha wa antara al-hufat al-urat al-ala ru'a asha yatatawaluna fil bunyan." The Prophet ﷺ then answered, and you will see the slave girl give birth to her master. And you will see the naked, destitute, barefoot Bedouins, herdsmen, competing against each other in building large buildings. And Sadaqa Rasulullah ﷺ, according to the great ulama, these two signs and many of the other minor signs of Qiyamah have been fulfilled. The first sign, which is very complex, and there are different opinions about it, the slave girl would give birth to her master. How is this possible? One of the scholars came forward and said, if we look at Egypt, if we look at the great leaders in Egypt, we will find that there were a body of soldiers who were called Mamluk. And the Mamluks were slaves. Slaves who came from southern Russia. And it is reported that there were Mamluk women who gave birth to young men like Saif al-Din Qutuz, Rahimahullah, Malik al-Zahir Babis, Rahimahullah. They gave birth to these men and they became their masters. So the slave woman gave birth to her master, not realizing that her sons would become the masters, and the Mamluks ruled over Egypt and much of the world for a few hundred years. The second sign is very clear. And we have seen an amazing transformation in the Arabian Peninsula, especially in parts of Saudi Arabia and the Gulf region, and those who have gone to the Emirates in the Gulf, who can go back in time, remember that only 40, 50 years ago, the people were living very simple life in that region. And then you fly over Dubai and Abu Dhabi, and especially Dubai, and you see Burj Al Khalifa. You will see the highest building in the world. So not only are the Bedouins competing against each other, they're competing against the Chinese and the Americans. And they defeated the whole planet in building large buildings. But these signs and what comes out of these signs and the way the Prophet ﷺ answered gives us a direct response to the questioning about the Mayan calendar. That the knowledge of this is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the great companions, when they would be asked about the hour, they would say the hour will only come, and they would give you major signs have to come first. Isa alayhi salam coming down from the heavens. Ad-Dajjal, the Antichrist, appearing. Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Gog and Magog nations released from their barrier. Major earthquakes, major fires, major changes. Ad-Dabba, the creature who speaks all languages. Ad-Dukhan, the smoke that would cover the whole planet and would make people suffer who do not believe. These major events have not occurred. And so we should not be caught up in superstition. Even though December 21st falls in the month of Safar. And Safar for many Muslims was a dangerous time. And in many countries, people will not get married in the month of Safar. They were paranoid. They are afraid of this month. They are afraid of certain things happening. If the rooster gets up in the morning and then crows toward their house, they think that somebody will die. Amongst us is superstition, and it is strong. But the Prophet ﷺ ended this in his time. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports that the Prophet ﷺ said, La adwa wa la tiyara wa la hamma wa la safa. Rawahu Muslim. That the Prophet ﷺ said, there is no fear or belief in plagues, superstition from owls and birds, or the month of Safa. And he increased this in another hadith and said, no fortune telling through the positions of the moon and the rain, and no ghoul. No fear of ghosts. And so he ended it. Ended superstition as part of Islamic belief. And so even though this time is falling in the month of Safar, we should not be confused by this, and we should not waste our time on superstitions. We have to deal with ourselves. Because the greatest issue that we have to deal with is not an external issue. It's not the political situation in the world. It's not the economic situation in the world. It's not the rise of technology. It's not digital technology. The real change, the real struggle is right within ourselves, right within our home. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has clearly told us إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change that which is in themselves. Internal change has to come about. We are crying and making dua for a change and a victory in Syria. We are crying and making dua for an Islamic entity to come about in Egypt and in Tunisia. We are crying and making dua that Masjid al-Aqsa and al-Quds would fall back into the responsibility of the Muslims, because it was a waqf from the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And it is our responsibility to bring peace and justice to the land and to all the people in that region. But Allah said the change will not come. The change will not happen. 20 mujaddids, 20 mahdis. It will not come until we change that which is in ourselves. It's inside of us. And one of the biggest problems that we are facing, and one of the signs of the last days, as the Prophet ﷺ brought many minor signs, was that of dhulm, oppression, violence, disrespect, abuse. This would be widespread in the world, and Muslims would be part of it. Wal-iyadu billah. And this has come to pass in front of our eyes. And in our own GTA, our own community, here in the GTA in Toronto, which has evolved into probably the largest Muslim community proportionately in the whole of North America. In our community, which has grown and expanded, back in the 80s, when our numbers were not that large, when there were only a few masjids to go to, and we were starting to come, we were feeling it. We were feeling the pressure that was hitting our masjid, hitting our community. We were feeling it that we needed, number one, to deal with ignorance. Ignorance of our faith. Because many of us would take the faith not from the Quran and the Sunnah, but we take it from our culture and our family. Well, that's what my father used to do. That's what my people used to do. That is what Muslims do in this part of the world. Instead of taking it from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, we were cultural Muslims. So we tried to educate ourselves. But frustration set in. Frustration came, our numbers were getting larger, but yet we weren't making progress. And then September 11th came. And we were then accused of things that we did not do. We were then accused of terrorism, accused of evil, accused of being the worst of the people, and we did not do it, and we knew that we didn't do it. And we know that we are not this. We know that the Muslims are khayrul ummatin, ukhrijat linnas. That we are the best nation raised up for people. But we were cut off from our families, cut off from our structures. In our structures, if a problem happened in the family, you could go to an uncle, you could go to an aunt, you could go to a scholar, you could go to a local imam. In some cases, you could go to an amir, a person who had actually state power, and get something done. We're cut off in another land. And so we tried. We set up institutions. Set up institutions in our community to try to defend this. Social service agency developed for the first time to try to struggle mainly against problems in the family. This is in the 80s, not now, this is 30 years ago, trying to struggle against this. But after this long period of time, when the issue should have been resolved, we had plenty of time. We are facing not just a small wave, we are facing a tsunami that is hitting this society. And because we are part of the society, the wave is hitting us as well. And this wave is being pushed not by an earthquake, as the tsunami that hit Indonesia. It is being pushed by materialism, pornography, racism, poverty that is hitting the society. And so the numbers are rising right in front of our eyes. And even though they are trying to accuse us that we are intolerant, that Muslims, you people are known for this, you honor killings, you have abuse, although we know honor killings has nothing to do with Islam. When we look at their statistics, we found out on the average, every 6 days, a woman in Canada is killed by her intimate partner. Not a Muslim, in the society itself. In 2009, even go back, 67 women were murdered by a current or former spouse or a boyfriend. On any given day in Canada, more than 3,000 women are living in an emergency shelter seeking escape from domestic violence. Each year, 40,000 arrests result from domestic violence. This is 22% of all the incidents reported by the police. The real number, nobody knows. So it is happening all over the place. By 2010, there were 582 known cases of missing or murdered Aboriginal women. The Aboriginal people, of course, catch the brunt of this, even worse than the general society. Half of all women in Canada have experienced at least one incident of physical or sexual violence since the age of 16. That's not Muslim community they're talking about. 61% of all Canadians say they personally know of at least one woman who has been sexually or physically assaulted. More than 1 in 10 Canadian women say they have been stalked by someone in a way that put fear into their life. This is the general society, and we as the part of this society are caught up in the tsunami. In the same way, when the wave came, everybody got caught up. Everyone was caught in the wave. So we feel ourselves caught inside of this wave. But we have to remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much guidance in terms of how to escape the tsunami. It is reported that when the tsunami was first coming to the islands off Thailand, the people looked and they saw the water go out. And the young people said, "Give my iPhone, take a picture." And they went with the cameras, the water was going out, it got really quiet. All the animals and the birds went high up. The animals ran up. The people ran toward the water to take a picture. But the animals who are on the fitrah, naturally connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeing this anomaly in the creation, realize the water is going out, it's going to come back with a vengeance. So go to high ground. And those intelligent people, those who were shepherds, those who knew their animals, went up to the mountain with the animals. But those who were in digital age, "I want my new picture on my iPad," they ran toward the tsunami and were destroyed in one blow. Wal-iyadu billah. This tsunami is hitting our families as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving the fitrah in the Quran, has told us, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, wa min ayatihi an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwajan litaskunu ilayha wa ja'ala baynakum mawaddatan wa rahma. Inna fi dhalika la'ayatin liqawmin yatafakkarun." Allah has told us, and among His signs is that He created for you mates from amongst yourselves. that you may dwell in tranquility with them, and he has put love and mercy between you. Verily, in this are signs for those who reflect. Right? Those who have intelligence, like the animals who went upland. So the house should not be a theater of war. The house is a place of sakina, tranquility, mawadda wa rahma. And if there is a difference of opinion, and there will be, then the Quran said, bring hakaman min ahlihi wa hakaman min ahliha. Bring somebody from both sides and solve the problem without violence. And so we need to take a clear stand, zero violence, zero tolerance for violence. We need to make a pledge, zero, none. And if any of you try to go to the Quran to get proof, you are nowhere near the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who were only allowed the most modest way of reminding somebody. Zero tolerance for violence. That is the way to come out of the tsunami. A change in our attitude. We want to be Quran and Sunnah. We want to be of the Salaf. We want to be of the Awliya. We want to be of the struggling people. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best of you, the most complete believer in faith, is the one who is the best in character. And the best of you is the best of you men to their women. That is the best of the men. He made it very clear to us. And so the movement coming from our community, the White Ribbon Movement against abuse, is an excellent start. And we have some pledge forms even to sign. It's an excellent start. But it's not the end. Because much preaching has been done. It is only part of a process. And that movement, that feeling, needs to become institutionalized. Retrain imams and leaders. We need to be sensitized, those in the leadership, sensitized to the problems in the families if we are not aware of it. Set up safe zones in the masjids, in the centers, or even near the center if it cannot be done in the masjid. A safe zone for anybody, female or male, who is abused by a person, young or old, a safe zone. Where if you say something, it will not be broadcast to the whole community. Safe zones, counselors, train people in counseling and how to solve this issue Islamically, and also using the best that the system here has to offer. Educate our community, especially the younger generation. Educate them to the danger of this. If our families are weakened, then our structure will fall apart. There is no future for us if we do not reconcile our families, if we do not make Tawbah to Nasuha a group Tawbah, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive us for the wrongs that we have done, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to help us to change ourselves and to go aright. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب استغفروا إنه هو غفور رحيم. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، عباد الله اتقوا الله حيثما كنتم، ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم خيركم لأهلي وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. The Prophet ﷺ was reported to have said, the best of you men is the best of you to his family. And I am the best of you to my family. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وارض الله عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر عمر عثمان وعلي وعنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين وانصر عبادك يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان خصوصا في بلاد الشام يا أرحم الراحمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين عباد الله يرحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون حق المسلمين